Today on Real Radio.
So the kingdom of heaven in a nutshell is going to grow. That's fantastic, but be careful because there's going to be the infiltration of the enemy to try to lodge in its branches.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on parables. Now, we've been looking at a number of these parables, which are found in Matthew chapter 13, some of which are agricultural analogies. In fact, we've looked at the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares, and now we'll look at the parable of the mustard seed. Now, this is among the shorter of the parables given by the Messiah himself, recorded in two short verses, verses 31 and 32. But as we look deeper into this brief passage, we find very deep meaning regarding growth both individually and as the church. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Mustard Seed.
Biblical scholars at this point argue from this moment on the meaning. And church, I'm going to give you some views. I have my own view, but that doesn't do you any good. You study this on your own. Some scholars say this, that what Jesus now is about to teach is that it is the expanse of the church and its influence in the world. It's so to speak, shining its light, right? And being salt, which is consistent with Scripture. And it influences in various ways and forms the world. So the other group of scholars says, no. It means that this is abnormal growth. This should not be happening. And what is going on here is that the growth is almost like a cancer or tumor, and it leads to destruction if you keep reading the parable. And they have a good point there as well. And you'll find very, very good teachers throughout history that are completely opposite on the conclusion of where this parable lands. Are you with me? So what wasn't right? Well, man, I hate to say this, but I think both sides are taking this to an extreme and missing the argument of the other side. Why? Because didn't Jesus in previous parables say, the kingdom of heaven's like this, a sower went out to sow seed, right? And some seed fell upon, and he gives the three soils that turned out to be not good. Remember? Thorns and cares of the world and hard impacted soil, and it produced nothing. But the fourth one did. The parabolic teaching of contrast to where there's good and bad. There's encouragement and a warning. You with me? And in each of the parables, you'll see that. What did we see last week? We saw the sower that went out to sow seed, and he sowed wheat, but tares grew up among the wheat. Remember? There's the good, and there's the not good. I think with what is called expositional constancy, that is, Jesus is on a roll here in the context, what fits? I think this fits. It is growth that is massive supernatural growth, but with growth, what do you experience with growth? You experience difficulties with growth. What's one of the difficulties? We're going to be reading about birds that come and lodge in the branches. Do you remember, were you here for the previous studies? I hope you're not missing any. Shame. Birds generically spoken of, without being referenced specifically in the New Testament's always a negative. Birds, general, not good. Sparrows, good. He mentions the bird by type. When he doesn't, generically, bad. Very interesting. So, as we read this, I think both camps are right, but they shouldn't exclude either one. I think we're seeing in consistency the challenge. So, let's look at it, first of all, as a word of encouragement. Big endings. The church will grow in unimaginable ways throughout the world. Has that not happened? Absolutely. In fact, the more you clamp down on the church, the more it grows. And by the way, if you want to, historically, if you want to really mess the church up, then legalize the church. Did you know that? Did you hear that? I'm dead serious. The greatest, in fact, the church has never fully recovered from this tactic of Satan's. Constantine legalized Christianity in the 300s and declared it as Rome's official religion. And the church became extremely weak, extremely diluted, and persecution ceased, and the church got very lazy. And it started to embrace other doctrines of Romanism, Babylonianism, and we've never fully recovered. If it wasn't for revivals that God sprinkles throughout church history, well, I think revivals through the word of God is what keeps Jesus' promise to all of us going, the gates of hell will not prevail. The church has grown. I'm not talking big seats. I'm not quite sure what that has ever accomplished. I'm talking about more and more people being converted to Jesus. And I'm happy, as you know, to report that in China and in the Islamic world, people are coming to Christianity, coming to Christ at breakneck speed and volume. It is awesome. It is absolutely awesome. It's sad in the West, we're seeing a decline, but hey, that's okay. It's okay with me. I happen to be an American, but not for long. I mean, I'm going to get, you know, raptured or die. And no one up there in heaven, you know, Peter's not going to be at the gate saying, Jack, you know, got your passport? Is that your picture or what? Not going to be an issue. You and I are of the political or politic of heaven. And I'm happy to hear that there's some, as far as they know, a known amount of some 1,500 Muslims converting to Christianity in the world being discipled. I don't know how they know that. I don't know who's doing that. But if that's what they know of, imagine how many they don't know of. Not to mention those that are coming to Christ in China, as I said. Now, that's the encouragement. But here comes a word of warning. Verse 32, and becomes a tree, or like a tree, or takes on the appearance of a tree. This is huge. This is massive. Okay, so here's the warning. Listen, church, there is ministry growth that is God-produced, watch, both in the positive, or it could be positive, yes, of course, if God's doing it, but ministry growth doesn't necessarily mean it's a positive. If God's doing it, praise the Lord. But look, ministry growth, quote, right, doesn't indicate that God's in it. Oh, look how big it is. God must be in it. Watch out. Ministry growth by God could be big or small. But we're so goofy people. Because in our psychology, a crowd draws a crowd. Oh, what's going on over there? Come on. I don't know. What is it? Let's go see. Come on. We're like that. And how many people attend a church and they're going, what's going on? I don't know, but what's happening? And then they walk out of church. What went on in there? I don't know. But it's a crowd and it's very electric. Yeah, but what's happening? I don't know. This is happening. I mean, you can go home, go on, turn on Christian television on a Sunday afternoon. And if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. Of what's being said. I mean, you want to test how your discernment is? How well do you know your Bible? We should do this sometime. We should have an afternoon service, turn on Christian TV on a Sunday afternoon on the screens, and when you hear false doctrine, raise your hand. We can have a game. Ning, 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 ning. Hey! Section 3, what did you find over there? That guy just misquoted that verse and misapplied that verse. And you know, I'm not kidding. Last Sunday, I did that. Turned it on. Whoa. One guy said, I'm not going to say his name. One guy said, if you're sick, you do not have the power of God in your life if you're sick. Think of that. Imagine. Imagine, Paul the Apostle, you do not have the power of God in your life. Paul suffered throughout his life with various physical ailments. Well, if you're not rich, God's not in your life. There's sin in your life if you're not rich. First of all the guys saying that are rich because it's the poor people giving their money to him. Right? So it's easy to talk like that. Think of that. Am I offending you? Did you get offended at that? Listen, it's a big deal. Growth can be dangerous. The great thing is if the word of God goes out, it scrubs anybody. If it's 10 people or 10,000 people, if the word's going out, it's like a big SOS pad. Save our soul. It's very powerful. So listen, in our lives regarding big endings, I mean, is this not your passion? I pray it is. In fact, turn to 2 Timothy 4:1. All of us need to be focusing on this. 2 Timothy 4:1. This is, who knows, man, these are crazy days. World's coming unhinged. I want 2 Timothy 4 happen in my life. Well, I say, Pastor Jack, you've been talking about Jesus coming back for years. That's right. But every year you're closer to dropping dead, so pay attention. The Lord may not come back, but you will drop dead. So we're 1 year closer. So here's the deal. If Jesus doesn't rapture us tonight, you could lay down tonight and rupture something. And so you want to be ready, right? 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Well, because verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, biblical teaching. But according to their own desires, because of they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Notice that, church. They had their ears toward the truth. But something got them, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. That means when bad stuff happens to us, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you or he left you. You understand that? Yeah. I've got cancer. I got hit by a truck. I'm losing my job. God loves you. That doesn't change. It has nothing to do with his affection for you. Nothing. Do the work of an evangelist. Notice, you can't tonight say, well, I can't tell anybody about Jesus because I don't have the gift of evangelism. Every Christian is to tell people about Jesus. There are people specially equipped by God that are ridiculously effective at it. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to lust about stuff, right? But Greg Laurie stands up. Now keep the verse on the screen because I'm going on a rabbit trail now. Greg Laurie stands up and reads a menu at a restaurant and people get saved. I can preach my heart out and nobody raises their hand. It's like, man. You know, have you ever, what I'm talking about, right? When you think, I should share with that person. And then the thought enters your mind. No, man, what if they don't accept Jesus? I'll play it safe and not say anything. Listen, we're all supposed to tell people about Jesus. We're supposed to tell. As God gives opportunity, we're supposed to bear witness for Christ. Okay, and then when there's like big heavy lifting to be done, God brings in the Greg Laurie's and the Billy Graham's and people that just have the gift of evangelism. Many of you, I've seen you on these mission trips. You're amazing. You're sharing with people. What are you laughing at? You're one of them. Robert, you. I just heard you make a noise. You're one of them. You can't get on the airplane. We've been all over the world. You can't get on the airplane with Robert. Without him, what's he doing up there? What's he doing up there? He's got the pilot in a corner. He's sharing Christ. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Do the work of an evangelist, verse 5, fulfill your ministry, for I am all, listen to Paul, it's so precious, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I'm dying. God told me I'm going to die. And the time of my departure is at hand. Please underline that. Are you dying? Listen, the time of your departure is at hand. Did you hear me? The time of your departure is at hand. I don't want to go. Notice the verbiage. The time of your departure. What do you do before you go on a trip? What do you do before you go on a vacation? You pack. You get ready. Should I wear this? Right? I always wear black on a trip because I spill everything on me. So you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. And you're excited. Let's go. Where are we going? Come on, let's go. Notice the Paul says, my departure's at hand. He's like, boop, boop. Getting ready. He's not like, oh, I don't want to go. Christians, we read about heaven. We read about eternity. We read about Jesus. We talk to him all the time. And then the moment comes, our departure is at an, I don't want to go. Think about it. What are we afraid of? I don't want to go through the change part, the death part. I understand that. And that's, by the way, a God-ordained witness. Humans created in the image of God, death is an abnormality. But thank God for the Christian. It's a momentary event. Paul says, my departure is at hand. I got my ticket. I'm dressed. You know what I mean by dressed, right? I've got the righteousness of Christ around me. I have the helmet of salvation on. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
If you're not ready to go, you can get ready to go right now as you listen. I love this. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. This is what we are to end like, Christian. And I have no jurisdiction over you ending this way. You have no jurisdiction over me ending this way. You must choose to determine tonight, that's how I'm going to end. I'm going to end like Paul. You have to decide that tonight. Some of you tonight are saying, I don't really care. Okay, some of you are saying tonight, I want that. Then listen, if you want that, God will never disappoint you. He will see to it. Yeah, well, what about me who I don't want it? Then you won't have it. Right? You don't want, he's not going to give you something you don't want. Third and final thing, it's a quick ending though, we're done. And that is the mustard seed. Notice this, constant care is required. Why? It says there, verse 32, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. The birds of the air, this is the interesting thing. Listen, the birds, as I said earlier, are not good, generically speaking. Well, so then why are they there? A lot of reasons the Bible warns us. To infiltrate the body, to bring false doctrine, to disrupt people's faith, to sow discord among the brethren, to mess people up, to put doubt in your minds. They're everywhere. Wherever God is working, birds will be flocking. And Jesus issues a warning. And he said that earlier in Matthew 13, 4 and Matthew 13, 19. In both cases, he said the birds are bad, not good. They devour the word, they take it away. And so what I want you to focus on, constant care. Christian, in thinking about this, all of you. Now, look, I know many of you on these Wednesday nights, you attend other churches on Sunday, and that's fine, that's great. When you go back to your other churches and serve or minister or whatever you do, you need to go onto your church campus next Sunday with a different set of eyes. Yes, there's a pastor and staff, and there's, I understand that, but you are a Christian and the church is a living, breathing organism. And when you go to your church next Sunday, you need, can I put it this way? Please understand me. You need to own it. And what I mean by that is this. Don't go to a church and be comfortable or settled as a spectator there. You need to go there and care for it. You need to go there and love it. You need to go there and ask Jesus, Lord, this is my church where you've called me for the season of my life. And Lord, use me to make a difference. And look, that doesn't mean you have to sign up for some ministry. It could simply mean this, which I tell you what, I would appreciate this, is if you just walked around with a sweet spirit, don't get me wrong, but you're very conscious and very aware, you know what, I love my church and I want to protect my church. And, you know, there's a guy over there, what's he doing over there? Scratching those cars with the car keys or something. I went to a church one time, that's what happened to me. Parked my car. Some guy's, what? And I thought, man, what is this? Satan must go to this church. But care for it. And walking down the hallway, and you know, there's some trash on the hallway. And look, if you're not committed, you're gonna walk by and you're gonna go, man, this church needs to hire people. But listen, God took your eyeballs and let you see the trash on the floor. And you know what? You were judging the church, and God was judging you. Because you walk by and go, what a filthy place. And God was saying to you, why don't you pick it up? Be a servant, will you? The church needs constant care, let alone doctrine, theology, the hurts and pains, the brokenness of families and lives, illnesses, sickness, death, babies being born. Constant stuff. Constant. It's absolutely crazy amazing. We begin with a little bit of faith. God's word, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And your faith goes like this. Your faith starts like this. I believe. And you eat some Bible. And you eat more Bible. And you get bigger. And your faith gets stronger. And it's like, yes! Until faith, you know, listen, faith is just exploding out of you. And you've got now to respond to what God has done. It's very exciting. And so we're all to be on the same page. Jesus is warning us, watch out for those birds. Watch out for a bird attack. Because they're everywhere where God is moving. So the kingdom of heaven in a nutshell is going to grow. That's fantastic, but be careful. Because there's going to be the infiltration of the enemy to try to lodge in its branches. The church is not a company, it's not a club. It's not an auxiliary. It's not a rotary. It is a spiritual institution created by God, and it is altogether separate from the governments of this world. And that drives the governments of this world crazy, because God is our King and Jesus is our Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Mustard Seed, a look at one of the agricultural analogies told by Jesus himself to his disciples. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, as we often do on Wednesdays here on Real Radio, we'd like to extend to you an invitation to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And it's real easy to find after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study live on his channel, hischannel.com. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. realradio.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.